Minority caucus in Parliament urges the ministerial committee investigating the sale of contaminated fuel to go beyond its mandate to include alleged corrupt practices during the Kwame Ewuadakun's tenure at Bost. We'll hear from them shortly. Three anti-draft bodies demand a non-partisan probe into the latest bribery scandal involving Parliament. What are their justifications? We find out. Ghana Bar Association unhappy with conditions of service of judges as Martyrs Day is marked today. How bad are their conditions of service? We find out. And some national service persons kick against deduction of 15 Ghana cedis from their allowance by the National Association, NASPA. Tonight, we hear from them as well. Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our show tonight. Our text line is 0266-026-941. 0266-026-941. Behind the news, live on Radio Ghana. We're live on all our 16 FM stations across the country. To our very first story. The majority caucus in Parliament has called on the ministerial committee investigating the sale of contaminated fuel at Bost to go beyond its immediate task and investigate deals that have undermined good governance practices over the years. The majority cited the construction of new Bost headquarters in Accra at $39 million, unexplained transfers to the office of the president during the last administration, among others, as acts that must be looked at. Last Wednesday, the minority caucus held a news conference and called on the managing director of Bost, Alfred Obing, to be interdicted, an investigation conducted into corrupt practices at Bost. Tonight, we delve into this issue, and joining us on the line is the acting chairman of the Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament, a member for Odotobri, Emmanuel Jimfi. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, George.
What was the rationale behind your news conference today?
George, let me say good evening to our cherished listeners and to your team that you are working tonight. George, if you recall, last Wednesday, my party caucus in Parliament had a press conference in which they put so many issues before the pressmen gathered and to all Ghanaians. And the issue was for the 5 million liters contaminated product at Bost and the brouhaha around it. The issues that they allege, most of them, unfortunately, are not true, and that we needed to clear the air for all Ghanaians to know what is actually happening. Today's press conference, first of all, was intended to make Ghanaians feel comfortable in terms of buying petroleum products. The press released by the minority caucus in Parliament said that contaminated is out in the trailers having those products to Ghanaians. And it created some sort of fear among the
corporates. Honorable, your line is breaking. Can you reposition yourself?
Hello. I told you I'm driving towards.
I think it's better now, so you go ahead.
It's better.
Yes.
Let me try and pack and you can have a very good discussion. I need to move over Is it better?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, thank you so much. So what I said, tell Ghanaians the truth about this 5 million liter contaminated product. What the minority alleged at their press conference was the product is taken out for OMC and Philippines to them to Ghanaians. And it's not true. So the conference, first of all, was to allay the fears of Ghanaians that this is not true and that Ghanaians should feel comfortable in terms of buying at any OMCs or maybe filling stations for their vehicles. And that, I think, was very necessary for the majority caucus in Parliament to clear the air.
Is it your conviction that as we speak, there is nothing like that on the market, the contaminated fuel?
Yes. You know, National Petroleum Authority, NPE, is the regulator of the downstream petroleum industry. So when the NPA including both national security media persons, representative from the consumer protection agency, all visited and they inspected 471,000 liters of the contaminated fuel, and we are told and assured by the NPA that they found the product intact.
Okay.
As a place called GAF at Tema. So there's nothing that Ghanaians should fear that contaminated product is out and people are blending it to unsuspected Ghanaians. So that one, we are very much assured by their checks and due diligence that they have done. There's no contaminated product out.
Going through your statement, on one breath, you seem to be exonerating the managing director or boss, and on another, you want investigations to be conducted, but just that it should go beyond his tenure to include that of his predecessor. How do you reconcile the two?
George, I just want to find out where our statement is exonerating the MD. What we have said is that we even commended the minority party because the whole thing is that this contamination is very, very serious. And as a nation, we need to deal with this expeditiously. So the statement by boss, by the minority caucus, on this particular issue, it's welcome. What we did this morning was that some of the allegations leveled by the minority caucus, we need to respond to them because some of them were true. Especially when they said that the contaminated product was sold to Mugutina at first be the leader. What in that boss, it's not them once we take it. Mugutina also sold it to employers at once.
Okay.
So we needed to let all these facts be known to Ghanaians. So when you do that, why does it say that we are generating?
Is it your position that the MD should step aside?
Let me just learn. You see, what we have done is that the committee set by the minister to investigate this particular contamination that held on 18th January 2017. We have asked the minister to extend the scope of their investigation to what happened in 2014, happened in 2015, and what happened in 2016. 2014, 4.6 million liters of fuel was contaminated. In 2015, 9.9 million liters. And in 2016, a colossal amount of 12 million liters. And this calls for a very serious investigation, because when we questioned the bus management, what they told us is that the cause of this contamination is human error. So how can human error alone since 2004 be reoccurring in every year, and the amount is being increased almost every year? So if it is human error, what can we do as a nation to curb this particular menace? Because it is a total cost to the taxpayer. And that is what we've done per our press statement. We needed to put up the main issues concerning the operations of BOS, because BOS is a very strategic company for people of Ghana, and we need to protect the sanctity and the operation, the effectiveness and efficiency of BOS. And this is what we did this morning.
I'll be grateful if you can hold the line for me. I've been joined on the other line by the Member of Parliament for Bungu from the other side of the house, Edward Bauer. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, George. How are you?
Very well, sir. The majority today addressed journalists, and they sought to create the impression that your earlier news conference created fear and panic, and they have sought to allay that fears. Was that what you intended, or why did you intend causing fear and panic?
George, I think that, in my very humble opinion, if I were to be the majority, if I were to be part of the majority today, I would have felt very ashamed of myself.
Why?
And I say this because what happened today, it's a scandal to the taxpayer. Can I explain to you why? One, the issue of the first question that you asked as to whether what we're doing was creating fear and panic. For a moment, forget that we have even the minority. When the issue came out, as late as yesterday in the evening, the NPA boss had indicated that they could not account for roughly about 65,000 liters of crude oil, the contaminated product. They had accounted for roughly around 400 and something thousand, but about 65,000 had not been accounted for. If I know that this product has moved out of the depot, is out there, and I'm not too sure where it is, and even the regulator says, as of yesterday, could not account for that, I should be worried whether this product has ended up in my engine or in your engine. So what was the fear of panic that somebody was creating? It is today that the MPA says that their further checks have suggested that they have found the rest of the, what they call the product, plus or minus, and in terms of margin of error, plus or minus 3%. This is exactly what they told us today. That's what today they told us this evening. That being said, you go about, I hear the Honorable bundling as figures, and I don't know where he's getting those figures from. And you see, this, if you do that, you need to show with the reports. You don't just get that, last year this didn't happen, last year this didn't happen. Let me explain to you, and these are the issues. On the 24th of December 2013, there was contamination at the APD, that's the depot in Accra. The amount that was involved in that contamination was 200,000 liters. What was the remedy? BOS did not sell that product. What BOS did was to re-blend it at the APD and sell it at market price. So what is it? They brought it back to spec by blending it. Since then, there has not been a single instance where there has been contamination. And I said 2013, what BOS is doing, and I believe that some people, because we may need to, what the majority is, we may need to go back and study a bit about the industry. There's something we call slop. Slop basically is just the waste that they gather as a result of cleaning tanks of storage. For example, let's assume that you put, say, gasoline in the tank, and then after that, you now want to come and put gas oil, that's diesel. Usually, you will have to clean it. When you clean it, the product itself is always made up of a high concentration of water and other hydrocarbon products. So this is what it is in the industry. It is called slop. And what you do is that they put them in slop tanks. That is, if they are not ready to sell them. Now, the procedure is that usually you sell those things out to dealers. But those dealers are not licensed, they are not licensed BDCs or OMCs. They're just small, because they buy them in small quantities like 60,000, 40,000, and they buy them in this way. It is always open to competitive bidding. And now listen to something again, which is very, very important. This product does not end up at the pump station. So before a dealer comes in to buy, what the dealer does per the procedure is that you go to EPA, pick up a certificate, go to MPA, pick up another certificate. So you have two certificates to pick. Then you then present that, and you are then allowed to bid for the product. And usually slops are not in large quantities. So you can't do it. And slops will always happen. We will sell slops this year because we'll definitely be buying for bread. We'll sell slops next year. We'll sell slops even in 2018 and 2019. The point I'm trying to make is that our brothers in the majority are mixing up slops and contamination. This is an incident that happened as a result of operational lapse.
Right.
That created that.
Beyond that, they want the investigation to be extended to include the tenure of Mr. Ewua Dakun.
The point I'm making, I'm going to address that. And for that matter, the minority, have no issues and qualms with what kind of investigation the state or its institutions will want to make. If it is whether it is on corruption, it is on contamination, it is on how boss was being run, I don't have a problem. There's a specific problem we have today. The problem is that the product that was labeled as contaminated, it was sold up as Nancy's BDC. And then he also onwardly sold it out to an Alliance's OMC. And this is what I'm talking about has been confirmed by MPA. Then all looking at the deal and looking at the factors surrounding it, less. So the Ministry of Energy, in its own wisdom, felt that there was a need. So they established a committee with specific terms of reference. What we had idea in addition to that was that, look, to be able to let this committee work and work properly, it will have to rely on information from, POST.
Okay.
Either through documentation or through voluntary, you have people coming voluntarily to divulge information at this transaction. And you have the boss MD still sitting there. Assuming that, George, you are a worker at BOST. And they ask you as a junior officer to come and give statement as to what you know about the deal. And you know that the boss is still at office. Won't you be scared that you go in, particularly the information you have can indict him? Won't you be scared to be able to? Because you're not too sure whether the appointing authority after the investigation should remove him or not. And your very job will be in online. So you'll be scared. So to be able to prevent this and allow people to openly come out and volunteer information for us to have quality and then to preserve the integrity of the findings of the committee.
They are keeping them there.
And what the majority is telling Ghanaians is that they want to muddy their water. Let's say, okay, they're now doing MPP interest. And it has become so dirty in terms of equalization. And that's why I say it's an embarrassment to whoever was involved in issuing this statement.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. George. Edward Bauer is the George. MP for Boom. Yes, Mr.
Today is a very sad day. My honorable colleague, the way he has responded to the issues, I'm so sad. You see, documents are documents. Facts are facts. If you go to BOS now, in 2014, there was a contamination, and the amount was 4.6 million. It is in their books.
His argument is that the contamination is he's talking about off-spec and
off-spec, slot,
yes.
So you're talking about 4.6 million slots at bus in 2014. You're talking about almost 12 million liters. Double the amount that has been contributed now, which we are talking about are slots. Maybe my brother is asked to...
Hello, your line is getting bad. Please reposition your... Hello? It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. We shall try and see if we can... Hello? It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. We've also been joined on the line by Chairman of the Senior Staff Association at BOST, Alfred Mante. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. We have Mr. Mante on the line. Well, we have the Member of Parliament for Odutupiri back on the line. Welcome back, sir.
Hello.
George. Yes.
The line went off. So sorry. Is it George? What we sought to do today, I think for me, we have achieved that objective. It is not to create equalization. Is for us to work as a team of Ghanaians who us to perform effectively and efficiently. For me, what my honorable colleague was saying, for me, there are issues that he himself has to investigate well before making such public pronouncement. Because the facts are there.
Okay.
But they are documented.
Is it your position that the current MD should still be at post?
You see, my take is that the MD, whether he is still at post or not, there are documents which are available. What he cannot sit on those documents. I mean, it's a thing. So, for instance, and now we have thrown so many information. So maybe based on information we have said or put in, can use that and when the MD is still at foot, this is what majority said, that we need this information. And he is obliged by the power that has been given to the committee to provide that information. So I don't know where, for instance, if the investigation will be compromised or not.
Okay.
For me, the issues are there. Let us allow the committee to do what is expected of them. What is the stuff today?
All right.
The work that he has given to the committee. So that all the issues, especially the $39 million office complex project.
All right.
What they are currently doing value for money analysis, value for money audit, what puts the figure at $90 million. So the extra $20 million, where is that money going into? And who did that particular contract?
All right.
Put in the $20 million dollars. You see, these are things that, for me, we agree with the minority.
All right.
And I don't know why the minority is taking this position now, because they call for investigation. And we said the investigation is okay, but let us extend the scope for the investigation.
All right.
And they are mad at us. So
we want to thank you. Okay.
It is for Ghana. You fight Ghana. You fight for the taxpayer. You will make sure that the country Ghana becomes a better place for everybody to eat.
Thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Emmanuel Jemfi is the Member of Parliament for Odotubri and Acting Chairman of the Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is the Chairman of the Senior Staff Association of BOST at BOST, Alfred Mante. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
My brother.
Is your boss?
The name is Albert, not Alfred.
Albert, thank you very much for the correction, sir. Is your boss still at post?
Yeah, my boss is still at post. As I speak with you right now, I'm in the office. He is also in the office.
You are in the office at this time?
Yes.
What could you be doing?
Hey, we are working.
Wow. Some people have asked that he steps aside so that investigation be conducted into the issue that is currently engulfed in your organization. What is the Senior Staff Association stand?
You see, the position of whoever is calling that to step aside is baseless. There is no... In fact, my MD did not. He is not the inventor of the situation that happened at all. He came to me, the situation. What we are doing is to manage the situation and take a haircut of our lost exposure. As we speak, we have been able to sell the contaminated product, which was accidentally caused, and receive a revenue, which is reducing the loss exposure. Okay, as we speak, the issues that have been overblown in the airwaves, they were all false.
Is it false that you sold it to a company that has not been licensed to do that job?
My brother, issue of licensing has been raised by an MPA. And they know their basis of raising those issues. As we speak, at the time of doing a transaction with the company, the identity of the company was not in question. The product that we sell, we didn't compromise on any of our normal processes and procedures. And so, if we are saying that the company is not registered, it's a bit worrying and questionable. However, NPA is the authority. So I'll leave that for them to do that side. Yeah.
You raised issue about things that have happened in the past and you trying to correct that. Are we then getting the impression that for the senior staff or the members of staff, you are only there and it is only when there's a big man at top a big man is appointed that you can clear the road?
In fact, I have made it clear for all the mediums that have spoken that the issue of contaminated, this particular one, is an accidental one. So if you have heard me anywhere, it's an accidental issue which the people that were involved has been interdicted. Investigation is ongoing.
But if it's accidental, why do you have to interdict them? It's an accident. Anybody can get involved in that.
My brother, we are running a business. We are not running a charity. And so if accident happened, we need to investigate. What caused it? Who caused it? How do we correct it? What are the exposures that we have? You just don't accept because of an accident. We have to address the issue, get to the bottom of it, and then we address it.
But were you at post when the structure, your headquarters, was constructed, which value for money analysis is putting the figure at $90 million when it was done at $39 million?
I was at post. But let me tell you something here. This issue could have not come out if the administration didn't change. I don't work on contracts. Okay? And so if the administration didn't change, you could have known that they signed a contract that the price is overblown. Okay? And so we just appreciate the fact that our MD is working hard to bring out all the hidden things that organization or he inherited from the old administration.
So the impression we're getting is that if you were unable to foresee these things in the past, chances are that if the current management is doing same, you are unable to see same.
It's not about foresee. If you use the word foresee, we are talking about something that hasn't happened. It has not happened. You see, this is an incident which has been shrouded by the people involved. Okay? And so if it has been shrouded by the people involved, then it takes somebody else to uncover and then we identify those who are it. And that's exactly what has been done.
You have tagged the ministerial committee as biased. What evidence do you have to say the committee is biased?
My brother, look at the composition. We would not object to the investigation of the issues, but the composition of the committee, which we call it bias, is that the very players in the industry that they compete with us. In fact, someone can sit somewhere and say that they are not in competition with us because we are in strategic stock and they are traders. But technically, us also trade. We do a form of trade. It's not like we are trading actively, but what we do, it is the same market that we serve. It's the same pricing that we all compete on. And so already concentrated market, how do you then ask a competitor to come and investigate me to do what? To learn my trade secrets? So as long as we are not objecting to the fact that the issue should be investigated, we are also calling that it should be manned by independent people who are free from interest. That is exactly what we are calling for.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Alfred Albert Manti is the chairman of the Senior Staff Association at BOST. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Moving on to other story. Anti-corruption groups, the Ghana Integrity Initiative, Ghana Anti-Corruption Coalition, Center for Democratic Development, CDD Ghana, and civil society groups have called for an independent probe into the bribery allegation made against the National Lotteries Authority and members of the Finance Committee of Parliament. The NLA is said to have spent some 150,000 Ghana cedis on allowance to members of the Finance Committee in the previous parliament to facilitate the amendment of the National Lottery Act 2006. The three anti-graft bodies, however, note that Parliament's integrity is gradually coming to question, hence the call for the probe. Joining us on the line to examine this issue is a former commissioner for Shraj Justice, Emil Short. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners as well.
Thanks for your time. What do all these allegations against Parliament, the latest being an NLA bribery against the Finance Committee, mean to the integrity of our legislative arm of government?
Well, it is quite disturbing, and that is why I also share the view that an independent body must investigate the matter and put the matter to rest. We've had several allegations of corruption against the parliament. Before this one, we have the IARGA allegation that the majority had, circulated money to influence the appointment committee in the vetting of the NLA. energy minister. So I think that it is important, in order to safeguard the integrity of parliament, that we have an independent body, you know, do this investigation. The speaker might himself decide to set up an independent committee. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, the president could decide to appoint a committee of inquiry under Article 26 of the Constitution, in the matter of public interest. So I think it is important for the integrity of Parliament itself that we don't have another parliamentary committee doing the investigation, but we have an independent body doing the investigation and clear all the issues, not only as to what's happening.
Okay.
NLA matter, but other issues, the wider issue, for example, there have been previous allegations that whenever a bill comes before Parliament, the institution that is promoting the bill is required to provide, you know, some kind of remuneration or monies to members of Parliament. These allegations have been leveled in the past. In addition to, you know, other allegations, for example, by Honorable Bagbin himself, you know, who has been in Parliament for so many years, and then Martin.
Your line is getting bad.
And Martin Amido also came with a similar allegation. So I think, in the light of these various allegations of corruption against Parliament, an independent body would be the better, you know, organ to do the investigation.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. We are very grateful, sir.
Okay.
Justice Emil Short is a former commissioner for the Commission for Human Rights and Administrative Justice, Shiraj. Also joining us on the line is a former Majority Leader of Parliament and former member for Zebila, Cletus Avoka. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News. Well, our telephone lines are not too helpful today. We shall try and get in touch with the former Majority Leader. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. We have a former Majority Leader of Parliament, the Honorable Cletus Avoka, back on the line. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good evening to everybody.
Your experience
from Bolkatanga.
Oh, okay.
After the Upper East region of Ghana, where I'm currently staying now.
Your experience in Parliament as a member and even at leadership, do we need an independent body to prove issues involving members of Parliament when it's about corruption?
Well, in my humble view, I do not think that we need an independent body to probe Parliament as an institution on issues of corruption. I'm saying so against the backdrop that there are three arms of government. And then if you add the fourth arm, that is the press, that is the fourth estate of the realm. So my contention is that, can we set a committee to investigate corruption in the executive or by the executive? Can we set a committee to investigate corruption in the judiciary? And can we set a committee to investigate corruption in the mass media within the journalists? Now, I recall that on or about 2004, Parliament, following the call by concerned citizens of this country, decided to investigate corruption in the judiciary. At that time, I was a member of the Judiciary Committee also. And we went from region to region and met other stakeholders. And I bet you, nothing came out of it. It became an exercise in futility. If the results were anything to come by, then Anas's exposure wouldn't have come a year or 2 years ago. I think that with the three arms of government, the executive, judiciary, and legislature, the public still have some semblance of confidence in the legislature. No wonder, because the executive is one-sided. One party wins the executive and runs the country. Some people normally lose confidence in the executive. So you see that some citizens demonstrate not to any ministry, but to parliament, to the speaker, and to the leadership of the house for them to investigate a matter or to solve a problem. So therefore, they have confidence in the legislature. My fear, my concern, is that if we have to expose the legislature, and then at the end of the day, Ghanaians also lose confidence in the legislature, like they have virtually lost confidence in the judiciary and the executive, then our democracy will be under threat. So I don't think that against the background of the challenges that we have and the devastating consequences that we are going to have, it will be prudent to set a committee to investigate corruption in the legislature. Admittedly, if there was a particular issue affecting a particular group of MPs or branch of the legislature that you want to investigate, fair and good. But to think that Parliament as a whole, you can put it in the public perspective and then mirror it on grounds of corruption, the consequences might be far greater than we anticipate. And don't forget that if you compare the conditions of service of your members of parliament in Ghana and then other circumstances to their colleagues in the sub-region and elsewhere, other jurisdictions, you realize that your parliament is lowly endowed.
But the argument on that, counter-argument has been that the entire society is having that problem. All other workers are not paid, so it's a reflection of the level of remuneration in the country.
Yes, admittedly, that is true. But if you take the MDAs, who ministries, departments, and agencies, that will normally bring their bills and other instruments, etc., through their sector minister to parliament for them to look at. You should look at the nature of the work of the MP. This is a case where, one, the MP had to sacrifice his weekend, where he would have been doing some extra work somewhere to support his low income, or where he would have gone to his constituency to do some work that will give him a good start in the next election, etc. He has left the weekend and he's doing work outside the precincts of parliament for this country. Number two, the MP uses his car or some other means to drive to that location, whether Eastern Region, Koforidua we go to, or Senchi in the Akosumba area, or Adan and the rest of them. The MP who uses his own means of transport and a driver to go there, and then he takes care of his driver, and then the MDAs support him in terms of accommodation, in terms of the meal, and maybe at the end of the day, a small envelope for his out-of-station allowance and also TNT. I don't see that to be corruption. I don't see that to be corruption. Corruption is if the MPs demand, besides or outside, or in addition to what they are getting by going out and in terms of getting TNT and in terms of getting accommodation, etc., they go out and say that if you don't bring us this amount to share, we will not consider your bill. That one is objectionable, or that one is not permissible.
In the case of the national lotteries, that's the impression we're getting. First, some 50,000 was sent, and later the correspondence we had indicate that no, somebody from parliament went and said, no, we need another. So that is clearly a demand.
I don't know the genesis of this. I'm out of parliament, but I'm talking from my background and the experience that we have gone through. I've been there for 20 years, so I can talk on many of these issues. The question is, how much was each MP entitled to? And this was between both majority and minority sides of the House. And don't forget, I mean, you also, let the general public also understand, you the media should let the public understand, that in these ministries, department agencies, they also have their workshops, they have their seminars, they have their end-of-year reviews, and all kinds of things, where they go out and they spend money from their earnings. And some of them have IGF, internal generated fund, that does not go to the consolidated fund, but it goes back to them to do their work. So if Parliament, think that this weekend I ought to go to my constituency, somebody say I ought to go to this place to facilitate something and get something. They say, you forgo that. Go and do this work. And therefore, we can give you this leverage, this small amount in terms of TNT, extra, extra. I don't think that that is bribery. That is corruption. I think that we are extending the ambit of corruption too far. And as I was trying to tell you, lower salaries that we have compared to other MPs in other jurisdictions. And then we have longest hours of sitting. We sit from 10 o'clock, and then sometimes we have extra sitting or the extended sitting. Sometimes from you go from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and then sometimes to 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. In other jurisdictions, they just sit 2 o'clock to 6 or 8, and they are closed. Or either they sit from 10 to 2 o'clock, and they close. And they don't work as much or as hard as MPs in Ghana do. And therefore, it is important that you motivate them from time to time for them to do the work. And thirdly, the demands from members of parliament. A member of parliament is not just somebody who can legislate or somebody who can debate in parliament and pass good laws. 50% of your success story is your activity in the constituency. How you take care of the interests of the constituents, not just fiscal development, but personal assistance and support.
All right.
But MPs need some support of some sort.
All right.
It's not there. And people have not been educated. And at the end of 4 years, the judge is not on your performance in parliament, but what you do back at your constituency.
All right.
How many people you help and the rest of them pay school fees, electricity bills, medical
funerals, wedding. All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Kletus Avoka is a former majority leader and a former member of parliament for Zebila. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Moving on to other stories. Today is Martyrs Day, a day that members of the legal community of Ghana celebrate the murder of three High Court judges some 35 years ago. The Bar Association used the day to call for the recommitment of the legal fraternity to the entrenchment of rule of law in the country. The association also used the occasion to express worry about the poor working and service conditions of judges in the country. Behind the News tonight finds out what the Bar Association mean by poor working conditions of our judges. Joining us on the line is the Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Bar Association, Ya Jacobo. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Today marks 35 years as Martyrs Day. What was the theme for the day and what did you do?
Well, this year's celebration, being the 35th anniversary, was enhanced with a lecture which was delivered yesterday by Justice Bobby. And today there was a remembrance service at the Osu Ebenezer Presbyterian Church to mark the event. And the sermon was delivered by Reverend Emmanuel Ayi.
One of the issues pertinent, of course, that was raised had to do with the poor working conditions of judges. When you say that, what do you mean?
Well, as a bar, the issue of the working conditions of the judges has been brought to our attention over and over again. Indeed, sometime this month, we went on our usual regional tours to the Bor, Ahafo, and Ashanti region. And once again, our members in those regions brought the conditions of service and the working conditions of the judges to our attention. There were some instances when there are some instances where their bungalows are even in a very deplorable condition. And so these were brought to our attention and some of the difficulties they face in discharging their duties, matters relating to equipment, relating to infrastructure. And as a bar, we are concerned about that because if the judges have difficulties in this regard, it will affect the administration of justice. And this was the matter which our president referred to in his
speech. Are judges not part of the Article 71 office holders?
If you read the article he read critically, he also talked about their working conditions. If you understand what I mean, that encompasses the courtroom, the equipment which are used in the court, and all other things that relate to the discharge of their duties. So we are not only talking about their conditions of service, we are also talking about the conditions under which they work. Some of the courts are in a very deplorable state, and those are some of the things that we were talking about.
You are not directly talking about their take-home pay.
It's inclusive. That's why I said it is not only their conditions of service, but their working conditions. Those are the matters he refers to. And he called for an improvement in those things so that they can deliver better.
Oh, okay. All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. We are very grateful. Yeah, Jacobo is the public relations officer of the Ghana Bar Association. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. Some of your text messages. George, keep this neutral, beautiful flashlight up. You are the new yardstick. Kudos. Skip Top Odele Watiku sent in that one. George, we the citizens of this country, Ghana, should do the right things simply because there is God's judgment day ahead of us. Reverend Asunder sent in that. George, ask Honorable Edward Bauer, what is he afraid of if the scope of the committee is extended to cover the previous administration? The NDC should stop their propaganda and lies. Ghanaians are wiser to know that they were deceiving us. Gaddafi Kumasi sent in this one. George, help me tell the NPP members at the Bunkuru to accord the president some respect by accepting his nominee as their chief executive, Monica Cons in Navrongo. I hope and believe that the minority NDC did not do the right thing in the John Mahama's government. They should allow the promising President Akufo-Addo and the NPP government to develop our beloved country, Ghana. Jake NSIE sent in this from Kaliu. Good evening, George. Come 2020, Ghanaians say they don't want any political entertainment. NPP should forget their votes from Coach Obakon Yendi. Zoni sent in this one. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. Moving on to other stories. A group calling itself the Concerned National Service Persons has kicked against moves by the National Executive of the National Service Personnel to deduct 15 Ghana cedis from the allowance for members for the celebration of NASPA Week. We've been joined on the line by the spokesperson for the Concerned National Service Persons, Roland Jan Kwafu. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening, my brother.
Exactly, what are your concerns?
Yeah, let me take this opportunity to send a very good evening to your listeners and also to all national service persons who are listening to this show. Our concern is that we had... Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, we had a communique that was flying on our various WhatsApp platform that we joined that we are to pay some amount of 30 cedis early on, which will be deducted from source this coming June allowance. Then there was a lot of public outcry from various national service personnel that we don't really understand why they are deducting that 30 CD from our June allowance. These executives came out and said that they want to brand NASPA, that is the Association of National Service Personnel, and that they want to do a clot, and they want to also do some projects, and they also want to celebrate the National Service Week. So they are deducting 30 CD from our June allowance. It received, as I said early on, a lot of public outcry. They went back and they came again and they said that if we are saying that we don't want the 30 CD to be deducted, which will be used for the cloth and other projects that they said, then they are reciting their decision, and then they are deducting 15 Ghana cedis from our June allowance, which will be used for the National Service Week celebration and also for other projects like buying of life jackets and also a project they term as a transit a transit project, which will house national service persons who will be posted to some remote areas. This, early on, before we started service, we were made to pay 40 Ghana cedis.
Okay.
And in paying 40 Ghana cedis, they told us that the deduction for the 40 Ghana cedis is that 20 Ghana cedis will be used for an online registration and administrative duty. Then 10 Ghana cedis will be used for 10 Ghana cedis will be used for ID cards for all national service persons.
But that came from the secretariat.
That came from the secretariat, yes. And 10 Ghana cedis will be used for NASPA dues. Hope you understand.
Yeah.
So we paid the 40 cedis with the hope that all the deductions that they indicated will be effected. Then again, you come to tell us that we should pay 15 Ghana cedis for your projects and also for NASPA dues. Is not quite reasonable.
Okay.
Because already we have paid for national service, the NASPA dues, which is 10 Ghana cedis. What has the dues been used for? As it stands now, nobody knows. They have not accounted. Even as it stands now, that money for my investigations has not been given to them yet.
All right.
Last year we had people who were before us who did their service. We had regional executives, we had district executives. Because the national level there was a court case, we didn't have a national executive.
Okay, Roland, we may have to revisit this issue next week. Our time is up. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Roland Jan Kwafu is the PRO, a public spokesperson for the concerned national service persons. Also on the line is the president of NASPA, Philip Quigg. Philip, good evening and welcome to Behind the News. Unfortunately, we don't have Philip on the line. Some of your text messages. Razak Kumbungu District says, majority have every right to show the whole country that they are incorruptible. NPP government will never accept any kind of corruption. In fact, George, I highly congratulate you on exhibiting maturity in journalism. May God extend your blessings and enable you to soar high, the star of Bolkatanga and the Guruni people as a whole. I guess you are from Upper East, you ask. Please confirm me, George, you are my great mentor. Sapak, a shaman sent in this one. The CEO of BOST should resign and pave the way for investigations. Napoleon in Tumu Sankofa base. Mustafa, secretary of NPP SMS group in Tamale, says the noise of the sea cannot prevent the fishes from sleeping. May Allah give Nanado and Dr. Mahamudu Baumia the wisdom to deliver to the expectations of the people of Ghana. NASPA just wants to spend their colleagues' money. NASPA has no use in Ghana, you add. AU Farouk in Tamale says, good evening. The illegal sale of contaminated fuel by the managing director of BOST is totally unwanted. Hairs must rule. Abdullah Elias, minister in Zantani Tolon district, says, I'm totally in support of the majority that the 8-member committee should start the forensic audit in the BOST saga from 2009 to date. May Allah grant President Nanado and the intelligence to rule the country without any heckling. George, I'm indeed confused about this contaminated fuel palaver. NSMP, Monica Kons in Navrongo is saying so. We don't want any deduction. We are about to finish our national service. Ghana is so corrupt. You didn't add your name. And this is all we have for you on tonight's edition of Behind the News. My producers were CB Bangu Ikela, Seth Kweju Eya, John Pobi Belland, Elom Tete, Suel Nanama Chikun, and Philip Boaten. Nana Osei Akosa was our sound engineer, and I'm George Asikri.